kind of funny that Sister Callie would have sang that song this morning. I was sharing with Amber or Davey, I'm not sure which one, maybe both of them, last week, that I was in prayer one day, and I just began to think about, do I really love Jesus? Do I really love God? Do I really have an intimate relationship with the Lord, you know? And do I realize how real He is? And as I began to think about it, I thought, God, do I just love You because I'm married to Him, because He's a pastor, and I have to? Do I truly, truly love You? And I began to find myself saying, how real are You, God? How real are You to me? And I really questioned my thoughts. And when I'm up there leading worship, I began to think about that. Am I doing this for performance? Or do I really love You, God? Am I really worshiping You? Am I really going inside of myself where You are and worshiping You? And knowing the God, the great big God that He is, the creator of the universe, and He's so real. He's as real as Bronx standing right here beside of me. But do I really, really, really focus my attention? Do I love Him? Do I realize how real He is? And I just begin to ask God to help me. And that song that we sing this morning about, I want to sit at Your feet. Do we really? We really need to search ourselves, and we really need to know, are we really going to love Jesus after a while? Are we going to be counted in that bunch that really did love Jesus? And I just began to think about that while she was singing.
Hallelujah. At a place of intimacy, it's a place that He created you for. It makes you so unique. What makes you so unique is the part that God loves the most, and it's the place where He really derives most of His joy. And that's the place that a mechanical robot can't give Him. You can only give Him joy in one place. That's by your eternal will. It's the part of you that turns itself over and says, I choose as an act of my will to love You and to worship You and to really love You just because of who You are. It's, you know, a lot of theological debate down through the centuries about what made God God and the origin of man and the creation, and you'll hear a lot of crazy things. Theologians have speculated, well, God put a tree in the garden, you know, put a tree there, knowledge, good and evil, just to see, you know, to tempt man. The Bible says that God doesn't tempt man. Neither can He be tempted. Well, if He doesn't tempt man, you think He put something in the beginning to tempt man? Well, He wanted to prove man. You'll find where that tree came from. But what you better know is this. What He did create you with was a will. A will. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. The thing that God gets the most pleasure of is not because somebody mandates and says, come on, let's worship Him. We can break the ice sometimes that way. We can break it and go to another level of glory. But you know, really, it's just like anything else. He cannot force intimacy upon you. You can't get a husband or a wife to love the other one just because you grab them and shake them and say, you're going to love me. In fact, they'll go the opposite way. But what He wants from you is that place. Hey, listen, our best days are ahead of us. Our best days of worship are ahead of us. When we come in here and all of us together have one thought in mind, and that is, like Candy said, I don't know how much of me is coming before Him on a daily basis because I need something from Him. If your family wasn't under turmoil today, and you had $1 million in the bank, and your body was totally healthy, you didn't need anything. You didn't need anything. How much of you would really want to be here? How much of you sitting here because somebody in your family is desperate, and you're sitting here, part of you, 10% of you, sitting here. You don't even know what's going on in the service. But you're here because you want to show up for God. So He'll show up for you. That's all right. He'll come and get in part of your life. But you know what? The day and hour where when you lift your voice, you're so secure in Him that there's not any part of you that's just wanting anything from Him except to offer up your eternal spirit and love Him and to worship Him and to magnify Him despite anything going on around you. I'll tell you when God gets the most glory. Most of us are in a trial where we need Him most of the time. He really, really likes it when people are doing really well. And then they'll lift their hands and magnify Him and glorify Him. A lot of times we're lifting our hands because we're sick. And that's good. Lift your hands and confess your... What about coming in and lifting your hands and magnifying Him for no other reason except that He's God, your Father? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you love me? Oh no. Boy, he said it again. How many of you love me? You know that doesn't go over real good. Whoo, Jesus. Man. Where's Delia at? She's working. I mean, the Delia is the most loving, kind-hearted, gentlest. No, Reuben, you don't have anything to say about this. Yes, I'm talking about it. You know things are bad. You know, like, maybe I've been, you know, cracking the whip a little bit more than I thought when last Sunday the ladies did something really wonderful for Candy and she was getting a gift and she was looking at it and I was like, wow, that's really neat. And I was just kidding. Where's mine? And I heard Delia say something over there under her breath. And I couldn't believe it came from Delia. She said, the way you've been talking to us, what do you expect to get? I said, oh, Delia, not from you. Well, if that comes from somebody like sweet Delia, I don't know what the rest of you have been thinking. Hallelujah. I just appreciate you being here. Glory to God. Well, why don't we turn to a couple scriptures. Scriptures will always get you out of trouble. Hopefully. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to head somewhere in these familiar scriptures and then hold your place there in James. Go to James. It's just after Hebrews. The first chapter. And then your greatest nightmare, Matthew 17. Oh boy. Some of you don't know what that is. And that's good because you'll be led before, as a sheep before her shearers. But right now, why don't you stretch your faith this way and help me. And say, God, help him to be, to be everything that you want him to be. So, Father, I just receive your grace. I can do nothing of myself. But I receive that grace to follow you and to walk in you and to hear your voice and to edify your people, Lord, as you edify us and calls us, Lord, to go from glory to glory. Father, I ask for Your strength. I can do nothing of myself, but I ask for Your grace, Your peace, Your mercy, the fullness of Your strength working in me. In Jesus' name, by Your work, in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, before we get started here in 2 Timothy, let me ask you just a couple of real candid questions. How many would like to really, and I mean these are kind of rhetorical questions, I know the answer already, but how many of you would really, really like to have the best year of your life this coming 2008? Okay? Some of you really don't care. You didn't raise your hand, so you could care less, and that's okay. You must have had the best year of your life. You'd like to go back to 2007. How many would like to have the best year of your life, better than 2007 even? Hallelujah. Well, I can tell you how. It'll be up to you if you want to. You say, well, you're going to give us something real, real out there. It's out there, all right. But it'll improve your life, and it'll change your life, and it'll cause your tomorrow to be totally different than your yesterday. Your yesterday may not have been so bad, but if you'd like an improvement on 2008, you know, here's something we've heard so many times. I started to say it bears repeating, but I hope it does for you. For me, still makes sense. They said a person with insanity. I don't believe any of us have that problem. But the flirting with it is this. Doing the same thing, the same exact pattern over and over, but expecting different results. Doing the same thing you did yesterday, today, and doing it over and over. I'm talking about living your life. Listen, if something's not working, if a trial keeps showing up, do you know this way that we're on? It's not this our way, it's just His Word. You know, it was designed to eventually take you from where you are to where you're supposed to be going and get you out of whatever the enemy or the flesh threw at you. When you get stuck in something, and if you went through some kind of thought process, some kind of eulogy or some kind of thought process in your mind, if this year you went through something that showed up last year and the year before, and it showed up four or five times this year, and it slowed you down spiritually, if it impeded you, if it depressed you momentarily, if it took away something that was not supposed to be taken away, if it held you in garrison, that means it surrounded you and made you feel like you weren't moving forward. If that thing, whatever it is, whether it's a social problem with somebody, whether it's an internal problem, an emotion that you're dealing with, whether it's even sometimes a problem with the finances or physical things, and you can pattern that thing and you can say, well, I really hate to admit it, but it showed up four or five times this year. In fact, I'm still having the same problem. Well, let me ask you, when 2006, did you have it in 2000? Yeah. I don't want to answer for you. It may not be. What about 2005? Yeah. 6, 4, 3. Listen, patterns are set not to be kept, but according to Scripture, there are patterns that impede you are supposed to be broken, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You're not supposed to be something. Listen, the want to scare you. Something is wrong. Something's wrong. And I'm only saying this, I asked you before if you loved me, and you said you did. Something is wrong when you pray, you say, I'm praying, and month after month and year after year, the thing just stands there. Something's wrong. It's supposed to go away. It's supposed to change. Now, let's just take a moment to do some decent, God-given, deductive reasonings. Deductive reasonings. That means when you have 5 and you take away 4, you have 2 and you take away 1. Let's deduce this. If something stands there year after year, year after year, month after month, you don't like it. It don't like you because it's not treating you real well. One thing that I think we can all deduce is this. The problem is not God. The problem's not God. Is it? He who spared not His own Son. Well, I think maybe He's waiting. No, He's not waiting. He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not, Romans 8, with Him freely give you all things? Well, Pastor, if it's not God, who is it then? Oh, and I must be the devil. Well, let me ask you this. If He spared not His own Son, and His Son stepped up on the brink of the universe and gave His life, and He said this, if He said these words, I give you power over all of the works of the enemy, and nothing. Now, King James says it, and you need to check your Bible. If it took it out of there, you need to throw that Bible away and go get one that's a God Bible. It says, I give you power over all the works of the devil, and nothing shall by in any means hurt you. Well, then if it's not God that causes the pattern to stay set, and if it's not the enemy, who could it possibly be? If there's only 3 involved in this, which would be me, the devil, and God, only leaves 1 for the pattern to change in. Let's read and see if what I'm telling you really, really makes sense or really is in the Word of God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. Now listen, instructing those. Boy, we've read this before. Instructing those who what? Do what? Oppose themselves. If God prevent you, or perhaps give them repentance unto the acknowledgement of truth, that they may what? Recover who? Recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who has taken them captive at His own will. Now look up for a moment. Do you know we're on a journey in this house? Do you know how pleased God is for you that any one of you will step out and say, I want to change my life? But as I said before, insanity is this, saying, I want different results. What are you going to do different would be the next question. Well, I don't really know. Here's what is about to be offered to us. Something that comes up from our foundation. I want you to understand this based on this Scripture. You know, really, the more you go into Him, you know this as well as I. I'm sitting here, I'm not preaching at you. I'm sitting here, Candy reserved me a seat on the front row so this can represent me as I'm teaching this morning. Because I'm receiving this with you. When Paul is writing this to Timothy, he's talking about a group that should be being changed. And he talks about them falling into something. We're going to read that out of James, but let's read this again so we can really, really get the message of it. In verse 24, he said, "Servant of the Lord, you are Timothy. Don't strive, but be gentle unto all men. Teach them with meekness, instructing them that oppose." Who do they oppose? They're opposing themselves. Do you know what? At this point in time, going into revival, going into the place where God wants us to be. You know the biggest thing most of the time that Satan's using as a trial against you? A test? I hate to tell you, because I got to sit in the same seat. It's still our own flesh. Well, I'm having a problem with this person. Let me ask you something. How much of the reason why you're having a problem with that person still exists in the realms of the agape that you walk in? See, there's very few true blue tests. True blue tests would be something where you're not having anything to do with it. Your flesh is not the reason why that you're involved in it. But when there's something inside of you that still has a problem loving people, or the enemy can get you riled up, he'll use that until that part of you can be purged out of you. And you're always, or we're always blaming, or can be, or the church at large can be blaming, "I'm going through this trial. Did you go through that trial last year?" "Yes, I did. I've been to it 10 times this year." I used to think, "Oh, God bless them. My God, the devil just hates them people. What's wrong with them people? They're a target." And people stand up in church, "I've been tested by the enemy. I've been tested. I just go through this all the time." 90% of those tests are because they're still opposing themselves. There's still something locked up on the inside. And Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, they're opposing themselves. In other words, why will they not? Why are they opposing themselves? Because he simply puts here, he tells you, that they may receive the instruction that those opposing themselves, verse 25, that God will bring them to repentance, to the acknowledgement of the truth. Meaning this, there's a truth in His Word concerning their walk of deliverance out of the flesh into the Spirit. And until they see it, they're always blaming somebody else. And they're always blaming the devil. Until the agape levels get deep enough inside of them, most of the trials that you're walking through has something to do with some part of you that needs to die. I don't like trials. Jesus doesn't want us to walk through them. Did you know that? He said, "Pray the Father, lead us not into temptation." But did you know that most of the church, I'm not the one that weighs it out. Most of the church goes through trials. And if God could balance it out, 60, 40, 70, 30. See, I don't like trials and I don't want them. But Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But I can go through something with my head held high and feeling real good as long as I know I'm not the one who's bringing it on or giving permission to it. Most of it, up until this point in the church world, is the permission the enemy has to come in, because we're not doing the things the Word of God says to do. We're not in the Word. We're not into prayer. We're not giving ourselves over to love. And when we're not doing those things, the enemy has some kind of permission slip. And he says, "Okay, I'm just going to keep doing this," until they catch on to the fact that you can't do the same thing Well, I'm not doing anything. That's the point. If you're not doing anything, that's the thing, that you're doing over and over nothing, and that'll only get you to a place of living year after year after year, blaming the devil. I'm going through this trial. No, you're supposed to come out of that. Find a new trial. Just sometimes it's better to find a new trial than to live 25 years in the same old trial. Something is wrong. The pattern you're in is wrong. You got to break the pattern. Do you know how to break the pattern? I can tell you how. Sitting here with you. Because there's two little twins up here. One's prayer. And the other one's fasting. Glory be to God. Say, my God, I knew he was going to get to that. Now listen, don't run out of the church. And don't think you'll outlast me, because I'm going to be on this for the next few weeks. And don't go on any cruises. And don't start your fast tomorrow. But if you want a way to at least, I can guarantee you this. What I can guarantee you is this. If you don't like the old trials, sometimes it'd be a relief just to have a new trial. Just to have a new one. If last year you had four or five trials where people were your problem, it may be, I'm not talking about people coming against you and you just, it was like water off a duck's back. You're always going to have that. But I'm talking about where you fought bitterness. Oh God, I got past it, but I fought it. It may be that it's not as true blue. I mean, right out of the pit of hell. It is from Satan. It is. The trial is from Satan. But all he's doing is using a part of you that's not yet submitted to the death of the cross, who dies, and Christ in you, the hope of glory, lives so strong that, you know what? After a while, he'll have to go find something else, because people won't affect you. Well, they make me mad. They make you mad because you need to change, not them. No, they need to change. If you change, you won't even worry about them. Oh my God. I forgot to take up the offering before this. Where's Marcia? Glory be to God. You know, the best part is we're going to tell you how. And the good thing is, if you don't do it, you're still loved. You're still loved. And nobody's going to count and see if you do or don't. But I can tell you this, the revival that we're asking for, we won't be able to receive it except we walk through this door also. Why? Because to get there, you got to get rhino hide. Can you say that with me? Rhino hide. Well, I'm just sensitive, Pastor. I come from a sensitive family, and I don't like it when people... I'm sensitive. Do you think that's a virtue? Do you think that that's a virtue? Do you think somebody's supposed to say, they're a sensitive person, you better stay away from them? Sensitive. Get sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But get rhino hide when it comes to the things where people are shooting darts at you and those kinds of things where the world's coming this way and that way. You've got to, he said over and over and over in Joshua, be strong. It was a command. Get strong. It's up to you. You can walk through this. I'm totally convinced that the immune system, I kind of hurt mine a few weeks ago. I've read up on it. I checked myself. Really, when you get a cold for 4 or 5 weeks, you need to kind of say, well, wait a minute. My prayer life's fine. My spiritual life's fine. I'm doing fine. He didn't convict me on anything. So I made sure everything, and I didn't go into a big discussion on that. It took me about 2 seconds to check on that. But while it was staying, when you push yourself real hard, the hour after your workout, your immune system drops really to a much less percentage. And I kept pushing and kept pushing. I had to back off a little bit. I'm getting better. But your immune system in the flesh can drop. It can drop. You know you're immune. You got an immunity in the Spirit. It's called the shield of faith. And if you'll stay in the Spirit, and we're not even hardly going to get to Matthew 17. We're just introducing this. There is a way, deliberately, if there's things that you don't like that have been attacking you, you know what it is? I found out when my immune system dropped for 4 or 5 weeks, most anything that come along, I was having a tough time with it. Now as I can feel it getting stronger and building back up. But you'll find if your spiritual immune system drops, you'll just catch most anything that comes along. Every fiery dart that comes, it'll poof your lip out. Somebody aggravates you. Every time you turn around, you'll say, I'm in this trial. No, sweetheart. You need to be purged from something on the inside it's a virus. It's a virus on the inside of you that makes you all the time fall, tripping and falling and tripping and falling. It's in there. I keep fighting with everybody. That's not everybody's problem. That's you. God, we really need an offering today too. God. The Word is so powerful. You know, Pastor, I'm just going to keep reading the Word this year. And you that need to fast, y'all go ahead and fast. Matthew 17 said they couldn't even recognize it. I wish we could get there. They didn't even know the reason why they couldn't cast the devil out. One thing about being bound by the flesh, you don't even think you need to fast. I'm free. I don't know what the rest of you need to do, but I'm free. That's the biggest testimony that you do need to fast. Is that you don't think you need to fast. I'm free, Pastor. I know you are, sweetheart. And everybody walks a big swath around you. Do you know Gary Carpenter? Now I'll speak in regards to him with respect. He's one of my best friends and a mentor and fantastic man of God. One of the greatest teachers I know. For years, he came here. Now he's teaching on this and using it. For years, he came here teaching, and I knew that Gary smoked. I knew Gary smoked. And that didn't bother me, because I had all the religion out of me. Cigarettes wasn't going to send Gary. And did you know that those cigarettes did not impede his ability for revelation knowledge? It didn't impede his ability for revelation knowledge. He knew more about the Word of God than any man I knew, except for Dave Roberson. The Holy Spirit, he'd pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit just flow through him. Still does. But do you know the year that he got deliverance? He never would fast. He said, he shoveled that message over. That's back there. Maria, did that catch you way in the back? Because I don't need that. I'm a word man. Now, I'm not saying Gary said that, but I'm a word man. I'm a word man. Do you know, not only will fasting deliver you from whatever, and he fasted off and on, not a long fast, but a series of fasts for a year, and at the end of it, God opened up his eyes and delivered him, set him free, and he's been free ever since, for years now, for years. But you know what brought him to that? Fasting. All the Word he had in him. And fasting. The Word won't give you what fasting will. And fasting won't give you what the Word will. Worship won't give you what fasting will. Fasting has a crushing effect on your flesh. Not only does it have a crushing effect on your flesh, Gary, I said, Gary, what about how much of the Holy Spirit? He said the Holy Spirit didn't even talk to me about that. I never heard him say anything about that. He knew he needed to get rid of it, but he said as far as the Holy Spirit actually counseling him or convicting him, he didn't. You know, not only will fasting break the pattern, the most important thing, it'll let you know you got a pattern. Oh, that's heavier than what most of you know. Because most of you don't even know you got a pattern. Find out how dead you are. Don't try this tomorrow, because I want you to enjoy the holidays. Find out how sweet, how loving, how much agape, and how wonderful, virtuous woman of man of God you are. When you get up to have that cup of coffee, just walk on by it. Don't even fix it. Don't eat breakfast. Don't eat lunch. Don't eat supper. By the end of the day, you'll find out that Satan has come at you with a hard trial, test of your life, and you don't even realize why. Obviously, it wasn't the devil. It's something that you're opening up that has laid dormant for a long time. And for a lot of times, it was everybody else around you. It was your mean husband, or your stupid husband, or your ugly husband, or your wife that will not listen. Because he's attacked. Those are emotional things, Pastor. But the devil's attacked my finances. You know why? A lot of times? Because we don't have a hearing ear, because we just keep doing the same thing. What are you doing? Just doing the same thing I always did. Have you seen much change? No, but I'm going to keep doing this because I'm used to it. Okay, I'll be back in a year. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Well, we're living from month to month, and credit cards are behind. And all right, what's your new? Well, give me a new game plan. What are you changing on the block here? What's five things? We're not doing anything different. We're just going to believe we're going to get out of this somehow. We're just going to keep going until time walks us out of this. You doing the same thing? Yeah, doing the same thing. You think you got a pattern in you? No. I don't have a pattern in me. I just, I just like doing the same thing. Now, I don't know. There might be two or three of you come back next week. But we're going to get to Matthew 17. And we're going to break patterns. Hallelujah. Break patterns. Would you like to have a rhino hide where, you know, a lot of times people will cry. Lee Greenwood can sing the America, you know, the song, what it is. He can sing that song. And I cry. But it's not the Holy Ghost. That's my emotions. In our military, when my nephew ran out on the parade deck, when I watched him graduate from the Marines a few months ago, man, when they were running that thing and I was standing up there, I was crying. I was proud of them boys. But it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was a patriotic emotion. A lot of times people will call me and they got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and they're crying, you know. And a lot of people will see them and say, boy, they're really moving in with God. No, they're not really moving in with God. They're emotions. Well, I'm a real sensitive person, Pastor. That doesn't make you close to God. You can cry till you fill up oceans. Tears don't make you close to God. The Holy Spirit makes you close to God. And when you cry tears in the Holy Spirit, your spirit goes from one place to the next place. And that's where change takes place. Now, I wouldn't encourage any of you to start a fast this week. You can, some of you old fasters, if you want to. But I'm going to be teaching on this for the next couple of weeks. And I'll use as much, you know, grace and mercy as possible. But any of you that want to have the best year of your life and break patterns, it'll be available, the knowledge, the wisdom. Hallelujah. And then I'm sure we're going to have a grace line too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory be to God. Now, lift your hands. I worship you, Jesus. I bless you, praise you, and give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Thank you, Father, that you take us from glory to glory, even by your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You didn't even get to Matthew 17. This may take a while, Ralph. Marcia, come up here. Get the mic. Get ready to pray. You're going to have to really pray today. We didn't have a Wednesday night offering, so we're believing God. Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a watch night service. We'll probably have an hour of fellowship prior, you know, or starting at 9. Bring you some cookies if you'd like to wire you up so you don't fall asleep. And then we'll have communion together at midnight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Boy, that was... You were real excited about that. So excited. Glory to God. Just ask you right now to just search your hearts. And if you don't like me, but you love Jesus, please get ready to give. You know, I'm your best friend. I'm my own best friend to talk to myself this way. Well, you like that kind of stuff. No. My flesh would love to eat collard greens and cornbread every day of the year. But I can tell you before we ever get there, abstaining from it has nothing to do with how it works. In fact, it has nothing to do with impressing God. It goes back to our premise this morning. It changes the one that needs to be changed. That's me. And I need to be changed more than you all. Hallelujah. So, Miss Dolly brought me some cornbread this week and some collard greens. And they're all gone. Except for the little bit I saved for after church. I'm going to eat them in my bedroom with the door locked. Liz, I love you too. Listen, going out and storing up and eating like a hog for the next 2 weeks before you start this thing is not going to help you either. You can't store it up. And before we get done, I can give you a lemonade potion that is the best that I've found. That it was given to me by Darwin and Kathy last year, and I don't know who they got it from, but it's a true fast. I lose as much weight off of it. It's not a weight thing. Fasting's not a weight loss or gain thing. That's not even the reason why you do it. But I know I'm fasting because I lose a pound a day, and I can still run. I lift a little bit. I can still run 3 miles a day and still drink that. You know, Darwin, you use it and you work. I mean, you fast a whole week of fasting. And Darwin's a UPS man. He's Energizer Bunny back and forth. So I can't do it because I'll catch a headache. Listen, the other thing too is, you know, don't do it during the holidays. Do it during a time where, you know, you can set aside a right, you know, I always look, it'll be a couple of weeks for me probably, because I got to watch Florida beat up on somebody. And then, I don't know what, I got a birthday which is coming up, and I'll probably, but right after that, that's probably when. But, you know, if you look for dates, well, it's my child's birthday, okay? I can't start this week. It's my husband's birthday. It's our anniversary. It's Groundhog Day. My third cousin removed is coming down. Are they coming to your house? No, but they're going to visit somebody's house over in, Sarasota or something. And I might drive up there during that time, so... I can't do it that week. You're going to have to miss somebody's birthday. You're going to have to miss Washington's birthday. Something's going to have to go aside. Hallelujah. Huh? I'm not going to miss my birthday. Oh, for years I have. I told her I was sitting beside her up here. I'm just trying to help you to laugh so you'll give a little bit this morning, because I can see your faces. You weren't going to give nothing. Oh, Marcia, pray. Please pray. Ask God to help them and to help all of us.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just love you this morning and glorify you and magnify you, Lord. You're such an awesome God. And we just thank you even for this last year that we've had, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you've done in our lives, Lord. And as we've said before, really it all belongs to you. We're stewards. All of it's yours. It's not ours. We're just stewards of what you've given to us and allowed us to have in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that your blessing would be upon all of our lives, and you would give increase even unto us, Lord, that we could even give increase unto you, that as you, as the increase even comes in, Lord, that we just give more and give more. And Lord, help us to learn to live on less so we can give you more. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your multiplication of finances in our lives, Lord. And multiplication in every area of our lives, spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, in every area, that we would be balanced. That, Father, that we would know that you're number one and that we serve you first. And that when anything comes to us, that we remember to give you first out of it and not give to us first, but to give to you first, Lord. That we would set it aside. Lord, help us even to plan this new year, Lord, in our finances and everything, that first of all we'd put you first. And then we could add in the other things, Lord God, but that you're number one. Lord, you're number one. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you bless this offering this morning, that you bless each one, even bless those that don't have to give. Increase unto them that they can give. And remember, I need to give to the Lord because I love him, not because I have to do it, but because I want to do it, because I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, so I give unto you. So, Father, I thank you for multiplication now in this offering today. Lord God, multiply it over and over again, that this church is debt-free, that we're all debt-free, and this church is debt-free, Father God, that there's just an overflow. And even as we say in our confession, Lord, that we may even be able to pay the way for others to come, for others to come to be blessed, Lord, that we would have such abundance in this house, God, that there would not be one need, that all needs would be met super and abundantly, above all we could ask or think about, according to your word, Lord. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, Marcia.